This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest,
the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse. Tonight's subject, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street.
You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Standing by in Boston, Massachusetts is the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse, journalist and communications director for the Massachusetts Council of Churches. Reverend Whitehouse recently returned from the Vatican Council, where he served as a church correspondent for one of America's major radio networks. Now, if you'd like to ask Reverend Whitehouse a question or make a comment on tonight's topic, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man on the street, call us here at Night Call. Our national Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Our Night Call operators are on duty and our lines are open, and you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Reverend Whitehouse, what effect will the Second Vatican Council have on Protestantism in the United States?
Well, that's a story still to be told, Russ, and it'll depend a great deal on how what is happening at St. Peter's Basilica filters down to the local parish level. That's as far as Roman Catholics are concerned. It'll also depend on whether Roman Catholic laymen get the cue that this is the time for them. This is their hour. And if they start exposing themselves to the necessities of reacting, not only unfavorably, but favorably to the local parish situation, I think the changes could be very great there. There's a whole other area, too, Russ, that's important, I think, and that is the changes that it's going to make as far as people of other faiths and even people of no faith are concerned.
What will these changes be, Doctor?
Well, I think they're quite evident, the shape of them, so to speak, already. First of all, a much greater openness, a willingness to talk about difficult areas that have not been talked about before. I think you and I both remember, Russ, it wasn't too long ago when you said there are two things I never talk about, politics and religion.
Right.
And I don't know, I think we're talking about politics and religion a lot more. The whole thing seems to have been broken open, but especially I think the council has given to the man in the street, and in the shop, and in the office, and wherever, a kind of a license to exploit the opportunity to talk about the things that are on his mind.
Well, now, has the Catholic layman been given an opportunity to do this in Rome?
Has the Catholic layman been given us an opportunity to do this in Rome?
Yes.
Well, yes. I think men like James Norris, and I could name others, although some of these names are not as familiar to me as his is. I knew him quite well when I was in Rome. These men are trying to find their voice. I talked with a YMCA leader, a world leader, when I was in Rome, and he said that Roman Catholic laymen are about 25 to 30 years behind in being able to, so to say, speak their piece. And I think even in the case of Jim Norris, that the thing that he said to the council and to the newsmen and to people wherever he talked to them, there was a feeling that it was kind of difficult to know how to frame it exactly. But I think this can come with more and more practice, so to speak.
What areas of thought seem to interest the Catholic layman the most, in your opinion?
Well, I guess the same things that interest the non-Catholic, the Protestant, the Jew, and the Buddhist, and all the rest. The areas that are easy to talk about, the things that touch on our life every day.
What are those?
Well, intermarriage, birth control, a synod of bishops, which has a relationship to our idea of government with which we're familiar. I think these are the things that are easy to talk about. I know when we were in the American Bishop news briefing each day in Rome, you could see these newsmen just hoping that somebody would say something in these areas, because this is the kind of stuff that has genuine interest across the whole world.
Well, did the consul say anything about intermarriage between the faiths?
Well, it hasn't yet, because this is in Schema 13, which is coming up, the church in the modern world. And the indications that I can see, and incidentally, I think I should put in a kind of a proviso here, Russ. The vast quantity of material and action and thought and interchange of ideas that comes out of Rome every day, it's almost a full-time job keeping track of where things are. Because, you know, the things as they go through the council process run along side by side. They'll be taking a vote on one schema when they're discussing another. And so it's it takes a pretty careful observer to keep track of where everything is. But I think on this one on intermarriage that the indications are that that nothing much is going to change, except the possibility that instead of a written agreement that's been required in mixed marriage, this would be an oral agreement.
What do you mean, a written agreement?
Well, there has been, of course, in cases where Roman Catholics and others married, and non-Roman Catholics married, there was a requirement of a written agreement that the children would be raised in the faith of the Roman Catholic.
Who had to sign this agreement?
The person who was not the Roman Catholic. And I understand this will be an oral agreement. Now, I don't personally look upon that as a tremendously significant change. But I suspect that in the context of more open discussion, the willingness of Roman Catholics to be critical of their own church, I think there's going to be a greater freedom. And of course, we've had cases across the country, as you know, Russ, where there have been Protestant clergymen present at Roman Catholic services and vice versa. These have been rather isolated, but they have happened.
Reverend Whitehouse, in your own opinion, or as far as you know, is there any Protestant church that demands that an equal type agreement if there's a mixed marriage, where they demand that their member or the member of the opposite faith sign an agreement that the youngster will be brought up
faith? I know of no church that requires this, Russ. There has been a kind of a half-hearted suggestion that this would be one way to meet the situation in the past. I'm not sure it's really a way to meet it, but certainly this requirement in cases of intermarriage has been a sizable problem to those who are involved in intermarriages.
What was the general feeling, well, let's say the scuttlebutt about intermarriage in Rome?
Well, the scuttlebutt in Rome comes...
Are you an ex-Navy?
...by the yard and the bucketful. It's a fairly sizable commodity. I'm not sure that I could even define in this particular case what the scuttlebutt was when I was there. But I think bringing it up to date at this moment, it's pretty difficult to say very much about it right now.
On this birth control issue,
yes.
How far did they get with this issue at the Second Vatican Council?
Well, here again, of course, you know, the council is in a hiatus this week. There have been no sessions. There's every indication that this particular series of sessions, by that I mean this, we're now in the fourth set of meetings, so to speak. And there have been, a lot of meetings. And we're in the process right now of there've been 151 meetings so far in the four sessions, middle of a week off so that the documents that are still hanging fire can be polished up with a hope, and I think a great possibility that the council will close by December the 8th, which is far earlier than anybody expected it to close.
Our guest tonight, the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse. Our topic, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight, the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse. He's a Christian broadcaster, and our topic tonight, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street. Now, if you'd like to join us here at Night Call, and we invite you to do so, just give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may dial us direct. And if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. And we'd like to know what you're thinking about. What do you think about the topic, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street? What do you know about the Second Vatican Council? Maybe you know some things that we don't know, and we'd like to have the benefit of your knowledge here on Night Call. Reverend Whitehouse, I have a caller in Albany, New York, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Earl Fraley. Good evening, Earl. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
I'd like to ask you a question. Once before the book, mixed marriage on divorce cases. The other one, separation, churches and states, where the politics from a church, where churches get in politics and to interstate. The first one is missionary. What about if a man is not a Catholic and a woman is a Catholic and the man wants to get divorced from the woman and do so? Can the Vatican stop that marriage or say that divorce is not legal?
Reverend Whitehouse?
Having trouble hearing.
He was asking what happens if a man has married a Catholic and then they wish to get divorced. Can the Vatican stop this?
Well, I must confess, Russ, that this is almost like asking an attorney on the air for legal advice. It's just beyond my competence.
I see.
I think what we'll have to insist upon really is to stay a little closer to the subject because I can't speak for what the Roman Catholic Church would do in any particular instance.
What about in the Protestant churches? Would they grant the same to the man or children, say if the man wishes to send them to his kids to a public school?
Earl?
Yeah?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question. You're going to have to speak up a lot louder.
Huh?
You're going to have to speak up, Earl.
What about if a man wishes to send his kid to a public school, and there would be some prerogatory on whether he what school did we go to? Two, then he had four. So they wanted to send all to a public school, but to satisfy the wife, he sent two to a public school and two to a parochial school.
Okay, what's the problem there?
In my opinion, it would only to satisfy the wife, he would do what I wanted to know, but him, do he think that would satisfy the people?
In other words, is that a good solution?
Yeah, would that be a good solution?
Reverend, what do you think about that?
It's quite a good question.
He wants to know if there's four children in a family, should you send the, would it be equitable to send two to the parochial school and two to the public school?
Well, it sure would make a more interesting family. I think that's one of the considerations that probably has to be borne in mind in a democracy is the cross-fertilization of minds, and I think the fact that you would have two in each school would certainly get some good dinner table talk going, don't you, Russ?
I think so. Earl, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
One final one.
Yes, go ahead.
On the separation of church and state.
Right.
Do you feel that the church should get in politics? And I hang up and listen for that one.
Okay, thank you for calling, Mr. Earl Fraley, a listener from Albany, New York, and listening on WBAL. Reverend Whitehouse, did you get the last question?
Well, I had a feeling that it had something to do with should the church concern itself with politics.
Yes, sir, that's exactly
it. Did he mean the Roman Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or just churches in
general? I think he meant probably any church.
Yes. Well, of course, going back to the prophets of old, Russ, their concern was deeply with whatever happened to people. Amos said justice should roll down like water. And I think that any Christian who is not concerned about what's happening to every other person in the world, even though he may feel impotent to do anything about it, has missed something in the way of the fullness of the faith he espouses. I remember when I was in Rome that one of the significant speeches given was by Bishop Sheen, and he called, you know, his great missionary interest, he called for the church, the Roman church, to return to its concern for the poor. This was a theme that was hit several times in the third session, and I think this concern. Now, I certainly can respect Mr. Fraley's concern, sort of implied, I think, Russ, that that the separation of church and state is also a point that in our particular situation must prevail. And I think that the American hierarchy who have been in Rome during these council sessions have come to represent the advantages of the separation of church and state. I remember Cardinal Cushing. No, I'm talking from Boston, so you'll have to forgive the reference to Cardinal Cushing, but we kind of consider him one of our own here. And I remember his saying at a dinner meeting that I attended that the church has no right to impose its political ideas or its will on the political situation. Now, the cardinal doesn't always act completely in accordance with that. I think he doesn't recognize the tremendous influence which his espousing of a cause has. We had a recent example of that in the case of Judge Morrissey, where the cardinal espoused his cause. But we have to forgive him occasionally, you know, when he espoused the cause of a fellow Irishman.
Well, then, in Rome, then, they're saying, let's get involved in politics.
Involved in politics, but recognizing the right of other people to similar involvement. I mean, in other words, the measure of your involvement is how far are you willing to let others also be involved.
Well, would this be part of this religious liberty declaration that we hear so much about?
Well, it certainly has implications in that area, yes, Russ, by all means. In fact, this is what the church is... The Roman Catholic Church is saying in the religious liberty doctrine, that in matters of civil rights, a person has a right to his own, to the dictates of his own conscience, to listen to the dictates of his own conscience. This is a very vital area. Of course, that was a great step forward which the Roman Church made, in my opinion, when it overwhelmingly voted for the adoption of that on September 15th, I think the date was.
Reverend Whitehouse, I have a caller in Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM, Mrs. Mary Holman. Good evening, Mary. Speak right up, ma'am. You're on Night Call.
Thank you. Dr. Whitehouse?
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
Hello?
Hello.
I can't hear you.
I can hear you very clearly. Maybe you can tell Russ what you have on your mind and he can relay it.
Look, number one, I think the time has come. I'm a Protestant, but I know that in the last 3 or 4 years, the Catholics have come a long way. No, I do not think I will ever be a Catholic. But I think we could walk together. And I think also we could accept those who believe in the Jewish faith, because we all believe that there is a supreme being. I think the time has come whether we either walk together or go off alone. Would you answer that?
Well, I think there's only one answer to that, and I certainly would say a hearty amen to what you've just said. I think we are recognizing, as John Donne said many years ago, that no man is an island, that every man is a part of the main, and when the bell tolls, it tolls for me. And I think our necessity of learning from the Orthodox, of learning from the Roman Catholic, I'm sure there are Roman Catholics whose devotion to Jesus Christ is far greater than mine. I'm sure there are Jews whose insight into the message of the prophets is far greater than mine. I need to learn, and I have only time to learn. I have no time to hate. So I think you're quite right that the necessity...
Well, I don't have time to hate either, but I also know there was a time in my life when I wasn't sure when there would be a tomorrow.
Yes.
And I didn't care whether it was a Roman Catholic, whether it was a Jewish person, or a Protestant praying for me.
Surely.
Because I figured they'd all reach the same place.
And I suspect that if a Roman Catholic and a Protestant and a Jew had prayed together for you, the God who loves
us
would...
Yes, we don't all agree on the same thing. But according to what I believe, even in my Bible, it says that the Jewish people are still God's chosen people.
Yes.
And the day will come when they will accept our Christ. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I think each of us has to live up to the light that he receives. And I have no way of predicting that this will happen. But I'm sure that the direction is in the direction of love, as you have expressed it and suggested.
Well, that's just right. If you believe there's anything other than materialism, I think we all better find a way.
Yes.
To agree somehow. And I will hang up.
Fine.
Thank you so very much.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Mrs. Holman. Mrs. Mary Holman from Indianapolis,
Indiana. We really travel around the country, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Albany, Indianapolis. Where next?
Well, that'll be interesting to see where our next call comes from, and our lines are open here on Night Call. They can call us by dialing.
They called you up from the Vatican, wouldn't they?
Right.
You know, I think that was one of the shocks, Russ, that I had. I sort of knew that there must be telephones at the Vatican, but I remember the first time I ever dialed the Vatican number. It sort of was a little unreal.
What happened?
Oh, they have one of the best telephone systems in the world.
I thought possibly maybe there was organ chimes or bells or
something. Of course, the Italian greeting is pronto, and that means you're to begin to start talking. And so that's the customary greeting. My Italian isn't very helpful.
Our guest tonight, the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse. Our topic, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be.
Proceeding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host Russ Gibb.
Our guest tonight on Night Call, the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse. He's in Boston, Massachusetts tonight. And our topic, the Second Vatican Council, how will it affect the man in the street? And if you'd like to join us here at Night Call, our lines are open on Night Call. Our operators are ready to receive your call. Give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, gentle people, you may call, collect from anywhere. Now please make that call station to station. The number is area code 313-846-6601, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. What do you think how do you think the Second Vatican Council will affect you? You're the man on the street. Let's hear from you. And our lines are open on Night Call, and it's very simple to call. Area code 313-846-6601. Reverend Whitehouse, we got involved just momentarily on this birth control thing, and you told me that they really hadn't made a decision. But again, what was the general tenor of feeling in Rome about birth control?
Did you find that many of the Roman Catholics that were attending the conference were in favor of birth control, or were they not in favor of it?
Well, of course, we have to define it a little bit, I guess, to start with, Russ, and that is that Roman Catholics are in favor of birth control, but not with the use of mechanical devices or any what is called unnatural system of birth control, which includes most of the ways in which, with the exception of the rhythm method, this includes just about every other possibility. Of course, it was a conversation, it was a subject about which we had conversations all the time. I remember sitting in a coffee shop with a priest from Baltimore, and I think for the first time I heard him give a rather complete description of his feeling about birth control and the reason for the Catholic Church stand on it in a way that I had never had before. To set the record straight, I guess we have to put the facts before us that the Pope himself has taken over the settlement of the argument within Catholicism about the morality of birth control. And so this subject received only the barest acknowledgement, except for one intervention, and that's what a speech is called in the Vatican Council, Russ.
An intervention. Slightly different meaning than
that's
medical
right.
science.
Bishop Simons of India stated that the traditional argument against birth control based on natural law was unconvincing and should be dropped. And, of course, when this kind of a statement is made, there are a good many positive responses from Roman Catholics who are around the Vatican Council, because the change in the birth control law, or the doctrine on birth control, the dogma, has been considered to be a kind of a progressive point of view. Even though there are many council fathers who hold progressive point of view on other things, they may not wish to have a change in the matter of birth control.
Why is this?
Well, I think that that the idea of natural law has really been firmly implanted, and a change in this direction, and certainly when the Pope is not giving any cue that the change is desirable, is affecting the discussion. This is related a little bit, too, to the question of clerical celibacy, all of which, I think, goes back to a kind of a dualism which persists in the Roman Catholic thought, the separation of the flesh and the spirit. Now, I think this pervades a lot of what is going on at the Vatican Council. For instance, the dress of the religious, change in the apparel of nuns, and so on. The feeling that there is something sinful about sex, and that the spirit is good but flesh is evil. This permeates a lot of the discussion.
But do you think that idea is changing?
I think it's changing, yes. And I think, of course, that the population threat is causing it to change considerably, because we know now more than ever we've known before about the rising population and the ominous meaning this has for us by the year 2000, for example. Our population...
Can I ask you to speculate?
You mean on the population experience?
No, I want to ask you, do you think that eventually the Roman Catholic Church will accept birth control? I understand that's a wild question.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the... 2:30 in the morning, that's a really good question.
Well, I'll let you think on that for a minute. We have a caller in Indianapolis, Indiana.
All right.
And while you're thinking on that, we'll go to Mrs. Wilma Taylor, who's listening on WFBM.
Right.
I think that's Mrs. Wilma, yes. Hello, Wilma. Speak right up. You're on a night call.
All right, thank you very much. May I speak to your guest, please?
Go right ahead.
I would like to make, first of all, one comment concerning the matter of cooperation. I am a member of an American Baptist church, and we do cooperate with the National Council, and we do have an observer at the Vatican Council.
Yes.
But I wanted to make this comment. I feel it's so important to not only American Baptists, but to other Protestant sects, too. I feel that it is possible for us to cooperate and to be a part of the larger fellowship of Christ without becoming absorbed and remaining unique in our own characteristics. And it is along this line, and I want to ask a second question, if I may. One of our principles as American Baptists has been historically the matter of separation of church and state. And do you feel, sir, that the Vatican Council has been making any efforts to either decrease the pressure, well, here in America particularly, of religion in the schools, for example, parochial busing, using public school facilities, similar issues. Do you feel the Vatican Council is either going to increase this pressure into our public schools or decrease it?
Well, I think it has decreased it a little bit, I think, to be very realistic about it. And I must say that from a personal point of view, this is an area of some concern to me, because I think really dreadful results would come if in the era of good feeling between Roman Catholics and Protestants, the matter of federal aid to education or the breaching of the wall of separation of church and state were to be carried forward more quickly because of that atmosphere. And I am afraid, however, at another point, and I'm sure as a Baptist you'll appreciate this, that we need as Protestants to think a great deal more deeply about our own practices. And I'm grateful for the fact that the Baptists call us back every once in a while to reconsider the kind of funds that we hanker after that are so available in so many different areas. And I think that if we are weakened in this respect, we'll have a tremendous responsibility for it. I would certainly regret, with a great deal of feeling, if this period of harmony were to be made the opportunity for incursions against the separation of church and state.
Reverend Whitehouse, what are these things that we hanker after? Did you say funds?
Funds, yes.
Money. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think there are too many instances in the United States, and I don't know whether Dr. Lowell spoke on this last night or not, but this is an area in which he has a deep concern, and in which every American ought to have a deep concern, and that is that we are allowing ourselves to get awfully close to the line when we ought to be a little farther away from the line, where government funds are being made available to church institutions. This is the kind of thing I mean.
I see.
And I think that I think there are all kinds of problems implicit in this kind of activity, and the poverty program has been one place where we've had some problem with this.
Mrs. Taylor,
yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Well, I'll be glad to try and answer.
What has been your general feeling about the Second Vatican Council? What do you think the purpose of the Second Vatican Council was or is?
Well, I feel that probably it has been an attempt of the Catholic Church to adjust or adapt itself to the modern age, just as I think that each of us, the denominations, are faced months do, that it found itself in a religious and cultural lag, and it's attempting to bring itself up to date to modern pressures. And it has been my desire and my prayer, as I've tried to watch it through the newspapers, that some degree of religious freedom would be achieved. And also, I feel that the Catholic Church should have every right to progress and become strong and vital in its own faith, just as I hope our own denomination would. And I hope that it also is a step forward for peace for all of us as Christians in the world today. But I really do feel, concerning the matter of religious freedom and the statement that the Vatican Council has made, and as I have seen it interpreted, that they need to go really further, because until we have religious freedom for all, we have really religious freedom for none. And I know that they have made a step forward in this area, and I have been very pleased to see that. And we live in a neighborhood that is predominantly Catholic here in the suburb of Indianapolis, and many of my good neighbors I know must have been very happy to have had their masses said in their English tongue, and their children would profit by it. And I feel if their children are stronger in their faith, then our community will be healthier. But still, I'm very concerned that in matters such as separation of church and state and religious freedom, that we as Baptists and Christians and Methodists remain unique and strong. We can cooperate and be friendly and prayerful for their own concerns, but still be evangelistic and zealous in our own causes.
Ms. Taylor, what about the statement that I believe the father that was on Tuesday night, he made a statement on night call, something to the effect that Catholicism was still the true voice of God, that this was the one true religion. How does that go with your thinking?
Well, being a Baptist from way back, my two or three grandfathers that were ministers, this goes, of course, against my belief. We as Baptists believe that every man interprets and reads the Holy Scriptures and is inspired by God to know the truth in his own way, and then should be instructed by his church to further seek the truth. We don't believe, and I certainly do not believe, that any one organization or when man is alone, the Word of God or the truth of the Church. And I certainly do not believe that the Catholic Church holds this claim alone because of its departation from the lay, the religious responsibility of the layman and his individual course to God.
Mrs. Taylor, I want to thank you for calling NICOR.
Thank you very much.
We've enjoyed your comments, Mrs. Wilma Taylor from Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM.
Our guest tonight is the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse. Our topic, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America, busy America, busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with the you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment? Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line?
Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our topic tonight on Night Call, how the Second Vatican Council will affect the man in the street. And if you'd like to join us here and our guest, the Reverend T.C. Whitehouse, on Night Call, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. What do you think about the Second Vatican Council? Here's your chance to let us know and to talk coast to coast. Our number here at Night Call, area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make that call station to station. Our number here at Night Call again is area code 313-846-6601. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here. Reverend Whitehouse, you said that you had a comment that you'd like to make about Miss Taylor's comment.
I thought there was something there that might be of some comfort to her. When the Religious Liberty Declaration came up, some of the conservative resistance to it was based on the fact that it had implications, for example, concerning the concordat between the Vatican and the Italian government, and between the Vatican and the Spanish government. So there is an implication here of a change of atmosphere. And I suppose one of the things we have to remember, Russ, is, as John Cogley pointed out, I think it was in last week's Times, that the church in Rome is in a position of a man in an air terminal looking at six clocks hanging side by side, all striking different hours for different parts of the world. And so some of the areas that the Vatican is responsible for are practically in the feudal era yet, and others are in the modern world with a vengeance, as in the United States. So there is a great difference in
a real problem for
relationship and how you relate effectively to all these different kinds of areas is certainly a real problem.
Of course, this is not only a problem of the Catholic Church. This would be all religion in general, would it not?
Well, it would, but I think it's certainly a greater problem for the Roman Catholic Church because of its long-established relationships with governments. And there is a desire, as you know, on the part of many Roman Catholics. The ideal thing would be to have the government and the church be one. So something has to change here if if the implications of religious liberty are going to be carried out. In fact, there is, I understand right now, I just can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but I noticed just reading the paper the other day that there is a case in Italy where they're saying now, look, if the Religious Liberty Declaration is approved and promulgated, then this particular thing in the Italian Constitution has to be looked at again because it's a violation of the spirit of this thing.
Reverend, we have a caller in Laurel, Montana, a listener on KGHL, Mr. Bruce Blablock. Hello, Bruce, speak right up. You're on night call.
Well, I'd just like to ask the Reverend, or I state something first. As I understand it, there is a question before the Vatican Council of Schema 13, which states or is to be decided whether the Catholic Church should forgive the Jewish race for being, I believe the word's a deicide race or a God-killing people. I was wondering just where they feel that they have the authority or the power to either condemn or forgive anyone for anything.
This is not Schema 13. This is the Declaration on the Church and...
No, I can't hear you.
I say this is not Schema 13. It's the Declaration on the Relations with Non-Christian Religions. It's a much-discussed statement which is supposed to absolve the Jewish people from special guilt in the death of Jesus. The point you've raised, of course, has been raised a good many times and by people who... I think by a great number of people who are Jewish, that the Church simply does not have the power to do, as you suggested, doesn't have the power to absolve anybody, and this has been a problem. However, I think what the Vatican Council is trying to do, and I think in the statements I heard in Rome when I was there, in the press panel, for example, a real sense of guilt, which I'm sure all of us share, in the relationships of the Christian to the Jew down through the centuries. And, of course, there have been, as Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum has said, there have been things that they have not liked about the new way in which the Declaration has been expressed. And some people have gotten very warm about this. For instance, there was a change of just one word in talking about the Nazi atrocities, a change of a word, a softening of a word from deplores to, I'm just having a little trouble remembering what that other word was, but it was a much weaker word. Tannenbaum says, after the murder of 6 million Jews by the Nazis, the Church can only deplore anti-Semitism. How many more millions of Jewish lives will have to be lost before she can bring herself to condemn anti-Semitism? Well, that's a matter of wordage, and I certainly think this is a declaration that calls for very strong wordage.
Bruce?
Yes?
Did the Reverend answer your question?
Pretty well. I would just like to make one statement, and that is that it seems to me that perhaps we should, instead of asking ourselves how we should be Christians, more act our acts instead of deciding how we're going to be Christians, instead of sitting around and discussing how we're going to love one another and how we're going to do the things which Christ demands of us. And it seems to me that I am a Protestant myself, and I kind of have to shake my head when I see the Vatican Council, because Christ put bounds on us, and I sometimes wonder why people should argue about or decide how they're going to be Christians. They say that a man who stands for something shouldn't have to sit back and think, now what do I stand for? He should be too busy standing for it.
Well, I think Bruce has a point, something he said something that needs to be said. I'm sure that much of the world, Russ, is not going to be interested in the... is not going to be interested in the fine polishing of documents. But I think, as Russ has suggested, the world is going to be tremendously interested in the spirit that emanated from Pope John, and which kind of implicitly suggested the kind of changes that had to come about. And I'm sure that nothing really great is going to happen unless that spirit, which I don't think was only Pope John's spirit, I think it was the spirit of St. Francis, I think it was the spirit of Jesus Christ, I think it is the Holy Spirit in the lives of men. But I still do not know the counsels of God well enough to say that the spirit of God moving through Pope John the 23rd and ultimately through the council is not part of the province of God at this particular juncture in history.
Bruce, I want to thank you for calling that call.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Mr. Bruce Blaylock from Laurel, Montana, a listener on KGHL. Doctor, we have a caller in Cheyenne, Wyoming now, a listener on KFBC, Mrs. Edith Durante. Good evening, Edith. Speak right up. You're on night call, ma'am.
I would like to know why they took the prayer out of school. It didn't hurt us when we went to school.
Well, I don't know if that was the Second Vatican Council that did that, Edith.
No, but I mean, well, you know, it was the majority of the Catholic people didn't like it because the Lord's Prayer, there's a difference in the Protestants.
Well, no, I'm not sure that that's a supportable statement.
Well, we have about a minute and a half that you can deal with it, Reverend.
I know for sure that there were a good many Roman Catholics who did not want that to happen. I think they were pretty divided on it, just as Protestants were probably pretty divided on it. And I wish we had a whole hour to talk about why that happened and whether it was a good thing or not. I can give you my quick impression of it, and that is that it was a move in the right direction. And I think that this ties in with something that one of the earlier callers said about the relationship of church and state. And I'm sure our Baptist woman out in Indianapolis would agree with me on this point. The church is strongest when it stands alone over against the state in compassionate judgment of the state.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is a person is what the person is and what you believe in your heart. You don't even have to go to church. You live so far out that there are no churches. What you believe in your heart is what, you know, people just can't tell you what to do, and you can't have a church just domineer your life.
Reverend?
Yes, well, I think that I go back again to the spirit that motivates men to do.
Well, you know, when they get to like Catholic people, they say that I don't know how to put it, that you have to go to confession every Saturday, or you have to go to confession. Well, you know, you can't go to confess to an immortal person. Is the only person. A mortal man cannot confess his sins.
Well, Mrs. Durante, I'm sorry, our time's up on night call. I'm going to have to say goodnight. You're very kind. Mrs. Edith Durante from Cheyenne, Wyoming, a listener on KFBC. Reverend Whitehouse, thank you for being our guest on Night Call.
Well, it's been a great pleasure, Russ.
And in one word, do you think the Catholics are going to accept birth control? Yes or no?
No.
All right.
Thank you very, very much. Continuing our week-long look at the Vatican Council, our tomorrow night's guest will be the Bishop Fred B. Corson. Our topic, the effects of the Second Vatican Council on Protestantism in the U.S. Until tomorrow night, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.